a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. I will now call the House Commerce and Energy Committee to order. I'd like to greet those that are with us here in the committee room today, as well as those listening on the internet. Also, a reminder to make sure your cell phones and other electronic devices are in the silent or turned off position. With that, I would ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Here.
Fargin. Greenfield. Holly.
Here.
Hubbell.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Kirschman.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Williamson. Willardson.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
And Sol.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum with a majority of the members elect present. Come on in. We're just getting started. I'm hoping you've all had the opportunity to review the minutes of our last meeting, and with that, I'd entertain a motion. The motion for approval of the minutes by Representative Dielstra. Second by Representative Miller. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. With that, I would ask our pages, who are now finishing their first week of their two-week stint with us, to please come up to the microphone and introduce yourself and tell us where you're from.
My name is Joanna Olson, and I'm from here in South Dakota, and I don't have any further plans at the moment.
Good. Thank you.
I'm Kia Miller, and I'm from Draper.
Thanks, Kia. And no plans. In the last committee room, there was a representative from the Board of Regents there, and they'll get in contact with you to help you discuss your plans for after high school. So I think there's a recruiting pitch coming on sometime today. Okay, thank you. Now I'd like also to remind those who would like to testify to make sure you signed in at the podium. And with that, let's start our business for the day. One administrative item on our calendar about halfway down, Senate Bill 121, I've been asked to defer that to Monday, which is the 28th, I believe. And so we will move Senate Bill 121 to the top of the calendar for Monday. Now, on with business. We will take the rest of the bills in the order as they show on our agenda. With that, I would open the hearing on Senate Bill 46, brought by the Committee on Commerce at the request of Department of Revenue and Regulation. Senate Bill 46 is an act to provide that the state treasurers shall receive certain cost penalties in certain alcoholic beverage cases. I'll now open up for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 46.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Matt Founder, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation. I don't want to scare anybody here, but this could possibly be the simplest bill that you'll see this whole session. In the summer of 2009, there was a summer study on the alcoholic beverage laws. Some of you are familiar with that. This was changed last year, 2010 legislative session, as part of a 27-page overall cleanup bill of our alcoholic beverage laws. And after it was put into law, it was brought to our attention that state treasurer should not have been changed to secretary. So we're simply changing it back to state treasurer, which is what the process has been for years and years and years and was still last year. So we're just wanting to keep that flowing smoothly. So with that, I would stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fund. You know, sometimes I like to move all the talkers to the top of the list so we can spend a considerable amount of time working those if needed. So I appreciate your brevity. With that, are there any other proponents to Senate Bill 46? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 46. Seeing none, we'll waive any rebuttal since there wasn't any discussion on it. I would now open it up for committee questions. Seeing no questions, I would now close the public hearing portion on Senate Bill 46 and open it up for committee action. Representative Willitson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move do pass.
Second.
The motion do pass on Senate Bill 46 by Representative Willitson, seconded by Representative Dielstra. Any comment, Representative?
I think Mr. Fonder might be right. This might be tied for the most simple bill we've seen.
The chair would concur. Any other comments? Seeing no other comments, the motion at hand is do pass on Senate Bill 46. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Barton.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
And Sowell.
Aye.
13 yeas.
Senate Bill 46, having received a majority of the vote from the members present, passes.
Chair.
Representative Willitson.
I'd move consent.
The motion to move Senate Bill 46 to our consent calendar by Representative Willitson, seconded by Representative Dielstra. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 46 is now on our consent calendar. Thank you, Mr. Fonder. That was pretty painless. Moving on with business. The next item on our agenda is Senate Bill 103. Senate Bill 103 is an act to revise certain provisions concerning special alcoholic beverage licenses issued in conjunction with special events. I will now open up for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 103. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Larry Tiedemann, District 7 Senator from Brookings, home of South Dakota State University, and they're always looking for good students. Just thought I'd throw that pitch in.
And make sure to pitch that before she has a chance to get away with
that's
you,
right.
Senator.
That's right, and we don't want to miss that opportunity, but that's what I'm not here to talk about specifically. It's the revision of the special advanced liquor licenses. And again, this would say that there's not a public hearing required for the issuance of a license if the individual or person applying already has an on-sale alcoholic beverage license or a malt liquor beverage license within the county or community from which they're going to be locating this. This will streamline the process. You don't have to call the city council or the county commissioners together. They could designate somebody for the county to issue this special events permit. It's a timing thing, also a savings. The city could designate the city manager. The county could designate the finance officer. The issuing body would also have to include and designate, put together some rules that would limit the number of licenses that may be issued to any person in any one calendar year. Also, the municipality or county may allow the sale of alcohol beverages on public property or property owned by a nonprofit corporation. Those are some of the changes in the law. That the license would not be able to be granted above where they currently hold their license. If they hold a malt beverage license, they would not be able to do an on-sale alcohol license. So it would have to be within that classification. Furthermore, that when they show up to ask for their license, that they have the fee with them to pay for that particular special event license. This comes into play in a number of situations where it's a timing. It could be a wedding at a public facility where they need that special event license. It's a timing event thing, streamlining government and removing some of the requirements, as well as being a local decision. Now stand by for any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any other proponents to Senate Bill 103?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Good morning, Representative.
Scott Munsterman, District 7. And just want to add just a minute of pragmatism to this. As a mayor, we would get special events. They would come at a short time frame that they would come to us, and the public hearing process would not allow for that, especially when we would have a vendor already that has an operating agreement or a license. And so I would just ask for your support of this. It'll definitely streamline processes and allow for that economic impact to occur in communities, and especially those special events that come on a short timeline. And these folks that we are giving this privilege to have already earned that privilege in a public hearing when they got their license or their operating agreement. So they've already vetted the public hearing process, and this will help a community, you know, have those events. So thank you very much. And we have lots of special events in Brookings that we have many people from all over. Matter of fact, Watertown, we generally get quite a retail impact from Watertown for some reason, Mr. Chair. And it happens kind of when you go home. And there's times when I see, and it kind of correlates. I don't know if that's true or not.
Thank you, Representative. I certainly do appreciate that, and I certainly hope the mayor of Watertown is not listening, simply because he has a shop local program going on in our community as we speak. So that particular comment, Representative, may be extremely detrimental to the success of Senate Bill 103. Continuing on, is there any other proponent testimony to Senate Bill 103? Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I would like to assure you that former Mayor Munsterman did not learn the antagonize the chairman technique from the Municipal League. I would also like to add that USD is also a fine institution, if anybody's looking for a college. The third thing, because the sponsors have done such a good job of explaining exactly what this bill does, I will tell you that this bill is in itself an efficiency measure, because it was three bills that were brought by three entities all kind of dealing with the same thing. And this is a case where the retail liquor dealers, the Municipal League, and the Department of Revenue are all getting something they like. And I think we all like each other's pieces. And so we would certainly urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents to Senate Bill 103? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tim Doherty. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Licensed Beverage Dealers of South Dakota, and we support this legislation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, sir. Any other proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Morning,
Matt Bonder, Department of Revenue. Anytime that Mr. Doherty and Ms. Taylor are on the same side of the fence, I like to jump up and say, I'm there too. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 103? No opponents? Well, seeing no opponents, I would waive any need for a rebuttal. At this time, I'd open it up now to committee questions. Yes, Representative Miller.
I move to pass.
Yeah, we're just working on questions yet to make sure that no one has any questions of our. No, you didn't. Thank you. No questions? Seeing no questions, I will now close the public hearing portion on Senate Bill 103. Representative Miller. The motion do pass by Representative Miller, seconded by Representative Condzett. Any comments, Representative Miller? Okay. Any other comments by any other member? Representative Hawley.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, obviously it's a strongly supported bill, and I encourage you to pass this. The city of Brookings came forward with this, and it would just really help simplify things there. So appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Greenfield.
If somebody would have said something about something nice about NSU, it would have made my decision a whole lot easier.
Thank you, Representative. And I need to caution the lobby by the Municipal League that obviously she hadn't checked the educational credentials of the chair when she was saying something about the other school farther south. But we'll let that pass. Okay, the motion do pass on Senate Bill 103. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nerstrup.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
13 yeas.
Senate Bill 103, having received a majority of the vote from the members present, passes.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Dielstra.
I move consent.
Second.
The motion to move Senate Bill 103 to the consent calendar by Representative Dielstra, seconded by Representative Willardson.
Point of order.
Representative Jones.
Keeping in with the humor that's been this morning, I'm wondering, is there any financial ramifications with this because we're recruiting and fees would be paid by a student going to a college?
Your order is out of line. Your order, point of order is out of order. Okay, we're working on the consent calendar. Those in favor of moving Senate Bill 103 to the consent calendar will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 103 is now on our consent calendar. Thank you. We have a spirited group this morning. I think everyone wants to get out of here. Okay, we deferred Senate Bill 121. On to the next item, Senate Bill 119. Senate Bill 119 is an act to revise certain provisions relating to sureties for water user district treasurers.
Here, I just spoke with Representative Hunhoff, and he is on his way. He's just not in the room at the minute.
Okay. I mean, is he walking this way right now?
I just spoke to him about 2 minutes ago. Can we send a page, or I can
write it in? Well, since the only other item on our agenda might take a little more time, I guess what I would do is just have everyone be at ease for just a few moments. And so be at ease just for a moment. We'll wait for Representative Hunhoff. Willardson.
Well, we've got a couple minutes, Mr. Chair. Maybe we could talk about the schedule for Monday and the probability of not starting at 10 o'clock versus maybe starting at 11.
We have five bills, and that's a good point, though. While we're talking about schedules, we do have a fair number of bills that we still need to get through. After today, we will essentially have 3 days to finish our business here in this committee. The 3 days would be next Monday and then Wednesday and then the following Monday, and then we have to be done with all of our business. So your suggestion for an 11 o'clock start, Representative, is duly noted, but is not going to happen.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Willenson.
In the interest of not having a meeting then a week from Monday, I would retract that earlier comment.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. We'll see what we can do next week. Welcome, Representative Hunhoff. We were just taking a little break. We've hurried through the first few items on our calendar, and Senate Bill 119, we had opened up the public hearing portion, and now that you are present, we will hear proponent testimony for Senate Bill 119.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for not being here. You are lightning fast.
Just don't stand in our way.
Must be Friday.
It is. We have a spirited crew here this morning, I'll have you know.
Well, I will not hold you up. Senate Bill 119, I think, is fairly simple, and I think it meets the spirit of what this legislature has been trying to do, and that's to give local control. And this is a bill that simply says that water user districts can kind of make their own decisions when it comes to how much to place to how big of a bond, a surety bond that they need to cover money coming in and out of their possession of their treasure. And we've had state statutes that say that they have to cover their entire treasury. We're not sure what that means. Does that mean bank accounts, money market, CDs, everything, loan monies, grant monies? Perhaps it does. But the point is that the water user districts are finding it really burdensome to provide bonds that large of an amount. In fact, in some cases, they can't even get bonds at that amount. And this amendment to the statute simply says that the water user districts have the flexibility to set an appropriate bond that they think meets their needs. It just gives local control. So I think there is another proponent that knows more about it than I do. I'll sit down. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hunhoff. Are there any other proponents to Senate Bill 119?
Good morning. Margo Northrup on behalf of the South Dakota Rural Water Association.
Good morning.
Thank you. Yes, what this bill does is allows, currently what the statute says is the treasurer must have a bond that covers all money that comes into their possession. And what our auditors are saying is that does include any loan or grant money that we receive. And so when we have our special projects, we may get a large increase of grant money, and we're not able to get bonds that cover that. And as part of the process, when you receive this money, you have to state that you're in compliance with all state and federal laws, and when we get that, we don't have the bonds, we're out of compliance. So after we identified that problem, I worked with DENR and also spoke with the Secretary of State and looked at some other language on how bonds and how treasure bonds were treated, and we came up with this language to allow the Board of Directors to set a bond that is appropriate for their circumstances. I mean, it would still include a bond because we think that's important, but it wouldn't make them out of compliance when they get these special funds. I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 119? No opponents? Seeing no opponents, I would now open it up for committee questions. No questions? Seeing none, I would now close the public hearing portion on Senate Bill 119 and open it up for committee action.
Sure.
Representative Fargin.
I move do pass.
Second.
The motion do pass on Senate Bill 119 by Representative Fargin, seconded by Representative Hubble. Thank you. Any comments?
I just want to say they explained it very well. That's about it.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, the question at hand is do pass on Senate Bill 119. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Howley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Condit.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
13 yeas.
Senate Bill 119, having received a majority of the vote of the members present, passes. The motion to move Senate Bill 119 to the consent calendar by Greenfield, seconded by Representative Fargin. Any comment? Representative Willitson?
I just wanted to question whether it would be eligible for consent because it does involve, the bonding amounts and such. I don't know if our staff would be able to maybe help us with that, but
the rule says that items aren't eligible for consent if they are a revenue measure. And how do you figure out what is a revenue measure? You look at, obviously, does it increase taxes or fees? Does it make an appropriation? Or does it require, say, a two-thirds vote on the floor? If it doesn't do any of those things, then I think it is eligible for consent. And this would not. This was on consent in the Senate also.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they're right.
that's true. That's very true.
Well, since there are no direct revenue implications with this particular measure, I would certainly encourage a move to put 119 on the consent calendar. So with that, those in favor of the consent motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 119 is now on our consent calendar. Thank you. The last item on our agenda for today is Senate Bill 43 at the request of the Department of Revenue and Regulation. Senate Bill 43 is an act to revise certain health insurance standards for patient protection. With that, I will now hear proponent testimony to Senate Bill 43.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. Senate Bill 43 deals with the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. It's another one of those. Let me clarify one thing right off the get-go with this one, because there just appeared to be some confusion yesterday on our legislation. This bill is obviously a huge bill, 2,000-some page bill, but there are certain portions of it go into effect right away, and certain portions of it don't go into effect clear till 2014. There are specific sections dealing with insurance that went to effect September 23rd of 2010, and that is exactly what we're dealing with this bill, is those measures, and only those measures, that go into effect right away. Matter of fact, they're already in effect, and the insurance companies have already put these measures in their policies and are in compliance already. What we're trying to do with this legislation is, number one, get our statutes minimally compliant with the federal law. And by doing so, that gives the state the authority to continue to regulate health insurance on the local level. And I think the last thing we want, and I'm pretty sure the companies will agree with me, I think that's the last thing they want too, is to have to be regulated by the federal government. So what we want to do is get our laws in minimal compliance, get it up to speed with the federal law so we can continue to regulate health insurance. With that said, I want to talk a little bit about what the bill does, just so you have an idea of what we're dealing with here. One of the provisions deals with those individuals that are insured for health insurance under the age of 19. And what we're doing with this is prohibiting pre-existing condition waiting periods for those under the age of 19. With respect to dependent coverage, you're a parent, you have your child covered in your policy, this will allow you to keep that child on your parent's policy until age 26, regardless of whether they're student, married, or whatever. So it allows the parents to continue with the coverage. Certain preventive services are not subject to deductibles. And one of those that we have on the books deals with mammogram screening. And so what we're doing with this legislation is taking away the allowance for insurance companies to impose deductibles on mammography screening. And then finally, the bill provides for a state review of small employer premium rates. So once again, to allow us to continue to regulate that portion at the state level. We recognizing that we do have a dispute on this federal legislation, and the state of South Dakota is one of those states that have joined with the other attorney general's office to suing the federal government about this legislation. So one of the things we did with this is to add what's called a suicide clause. And what the suicide clause in this bill says is if, in fact, the ultimate authority of the courts determines the bill to be unconstitutional, for instance, Supreme Court of this land, then the bill goes away automatically. So if the state wins the lawsuit and the Florida judge's ruling stands as far as the entire bill being unconstitutional, Senate Bill 43 goes away automatically. So we have that clause on there as well. I would just add that in coming up with these requirements, we work closely with the health insurance industry here in South Dakota, and I believe they will also concur with that and support this legislation. So with that, I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Are there any other proponents to Senate Bill 43?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. My name is Dennis Dunk, and I'm a registered lobbyist for Dakota Care, which is a health maintenance organization operating in the state of South Dakota. I think Mr. Moses has appropriately defined and outlined the dilemma that the insurance companies such as Dakota Care has found with a bill similar to this, and that being that As you know, the health insurance industry was a opponent of the federal health care reform package that passed Congress last year. But that being the case, we still, since it did pass and it is still operative at this moment at least, we need to be able to prepare in advance to meet all these requirements under the Affordable Health Care Act that was passed by Congress. Therefore, we do rise as proponents of this bill. It does allow us to be prepared to meet all these requirements in the event that this statute does in fact go into effect and is not overturned by the federal courts. And with that, I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you, sir. Any other proponents to Senate Bill 43? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Justin Smith, and I am a registered lobbyist for Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Dakota. I essentially have nothing great to add this morning. I will just echo the comments made by Mr. Moses and Mr. Duncan, and I will follow up with a thank you to the department, to the Division of Insurance on behalf of Wellmark and the other insurance companies, because the division was very good about having active involvement with the other insurance companies on the crafting of this legislation. So we would just support the bill and ask you to vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Any other proponents to Senate Bill 43? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 43? Seeing no opponents, at this time I'd open it up for committee questions. Representative Konzit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor.
Please.
As I'm sure you've witnessed the testimony that went on yesterday on this bill that had to do with...
It's on. She's struggling.
Had to do with insurance. Representative Willitson tried to bravely drive that dishwasher through the car wash, and there were a lot of misinformation and sidetracking that went on. This is going to come up again on the
floor. When you said that this is going in compliance with federal law, they are going to talk about the health care mandate. How would you respond to that if that question was put to you directly?
Mr. Moses.
If I may, I hope I understand your question correctly. When you say the mandate, are you referring to the individual mandate that goes in, scheduled to go into effect in 2014, Representative? Thank you. That individual mandate is not part of Senate Bill 43. We are not trying to put forth anything in this bill that has the delayed effective date of 2014. We'll deal with those issues later. We certainly understand the concerns with that particular component of it, and our, like I said, it's not part of this legislation.
Thank you.
Any follow up? Representative Dalstra.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for the sponsor. Mr. Chairman, earlier you had indicated it had a suicide clause in there. Could you elaborate on that, please?
Certainly. Matter of fact, let me point to the portion of the bill that deals with that so we all know what we're talking about. Specifically, on the very last page of the bill, page 13, section 19 of the bill, this is the suicide clause that I referred to in my testimony. And the very last section, section 19 of the gross bill.
That's not an amended bill. You have the paper copy. It's on page 13. So that means you guys don't have to amend it.
Would it be helpful? I just read the last section of the gross bill.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The provisions of this act are repealed if the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, Public Law Number 111-148, 124, Stat 119, 2010, as amended by Health Care and Education Reconciliation Act of 2010, Public Law Number 111-152, 124 Stat 1029, in parentheses 2010, is found to be unconstitutional in its entirety by a final decision of a federal court of competent jurisdiction and all appeals exhausted or the time for appeals elapsed. So, again, it's repealed if ultimately found unconstitutional.
Thank you. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Moses, I'm looking at the amended version that came out of the Senate, and then I look back and I see that the Senate Commerce Committee had previously tagged a different amendment to this. And I guess my question is, it's now in its third metamorphosis, you know, third rendition. Are we minimally compliant, or are we adding things to this as we go, or what has changed as this thing has worked its way through the process?
Fair question, Representative. I think there was a couple of different reasons for amendments, one of which was there were some fine-tuned items that we had missed, and I believe one of the carriers had caught, and so we clarified those issues. So one of it was just more lines of corrections rather than changes. There was one area that it was added, and it is, again, a minimal compliance issue, and that is because the HHS came out with some regulations with regard to rate review. And what they've determined for rate review purposes, and that's one of the things that got added, was the small group rate review, is that in order for the states to continue to be the sole determiner of the appropriateness of premium rates for health insurance, that they had to have what's called an effective rate review program. And when you went through the federal regs on what constitutes a effective rate review program, we found that we were not going to meet those criteria as applied to small employer plans. And so therefore we added that portion of the bill to make sure that we had adequate authority so we would continue to have the authority with respect to premium rates for small employer plans. So that was the reason, is the new federal regulations that came out, I believe it was December.
Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess one other question. In discussing Section 19, my question is simply, if the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is declared to be unconstitutional, do we then revert to our previous law, or does it wipe everything off the books relative to the bill that's in front of us?
It's my understanding, since the language of the Section 19 is be repealed, then we would be reverting back to the original language and the law as it exists today.
Follow up, Representative? Okay. It's probably good. Any other questions of the committee? Seeing no further questions, I will close the public hearing portion on Senate Bill 43 and open it up for committee discussion and or action. Chair. Representative Fargin.
I move do pass.
The motion do pass on Senate Bill 43 by Representative Fargin, seconded by Representative Dielstra. Any comments, Representative Fargin?
Yeah, I think it's explained very well. And then there are safeguards. I know what happened yesterday on the floor. There are safeguards regarding to the Affordable Patient, or what is it, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. This is something that we have to comply on. If we don't comply on it, our state government cannot regulate insurance companies. So it's something to protect our citizens here, to make sure that that we can regulate them, and with the protection on there, with that Section 19, I think that is fair.
Any other comments, Representative Greenfield?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess, you know, I don't know what the proper course of action is here. In the past, we've complied with federal mandates. Being told that if we don't enact the Real ID Act, we won't be able to fly on airplanes. Well, we find out that there are several states currently that have continually refused to do that, and those people are flying on airplanes. People from those states. I'm going to vote against this, just as an act of defiance, you know, for a federal mandate that I don't agree with, if nothing else, but. I tend to try to approach things with caution. When told that it's a federal mandate that we must comply with, I think back to a number of mandates that we complied with that others did not, and their worlds didn't come screeching to a halt. And I don't know that ours would necessarily if we don't pass this.
Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I agree with both the previous speakers. With a caveat that, as I said yesterday on the floor, we kind of need to keep our eye on the ball here. The act from the federal government has already imposed some of the laws. Now, keep in mind, the insurance companies that are operating in our state now have already changed their policies so that they're in compliance with the federal law. Because we only meet in January and February each year, our division of insurance basically had to look the other way while these companies were doing that, knowing that they had to make these changes to comply with the federal law, even though our state law wasn't exactly lined up with that. And that's what this bill is doing. It's lining up our state laws to comply with the federal laws that are already in force. These went into effect in 2010. So while I agree with the previous representative, that especially when it comes to the Real ID Act, in this particular case, you know, I think we need to move this bill forward and to get it on the floor. And so assuming that we pass it, Mr. Chair, I'll volunteer to take the hit again on the floor and do that. And I'm sure that the Division of Insurance would be happy to work with me on that part, too. So I'd ask you to vote yes, you know, on this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Hawley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Despite what your beliefs are in the Health Care Reform Act, I think that has no bearing here at all.
This started September 2010. All of my companies have enacted this already. The policies I have for my insureds have these provisions in it, and I don't think that we should put our companies in the state and our insureds in the middle of our discussion on the overall plan. So I really hope that you help keep the department so we can regulate our companies and our insureds and act on their benefit and not trying to go on an overall philosophical decision, but take care of the people in South Dakota.
So thank you, Representative. Representative Hubble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, will be voting against this. One of the reasons I am is because a couple of the items in the bill itself, but also because of Section 19, my hope is that this bill will die an ugly death, this Patient Protection and Affordability Act, from the state level and not from a Supreme Court initiative or decision. Because of 19 doesn't include all the ways that the federal health care could die, I'm going to be voting against it also.
Any other comments? Seeing no further comments, the motion at hand is do pass on Senate Bill 43. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
No.
Holly.
Aye.
Hubble.
No.
Jensen. Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
We had 11 yeas, 2 nays.
Senate Bill 43, having received a majority of the vote from the members present, passes. And I don't think we could probably move that to the consent calendar if we really tried. Thank you. And I do appreciate your offer to take that to the floor, Representative Willitson. And Representative Fargin, would you be so kind as to discuss this in your caucus? Thank you. With that, that finishes our business for today. Just as a note, be prepared for to take care of a lot of business next week. And with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. The motion by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Willitson. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, we are adjourned.